This is a piece that's called Lost in Translation. We live in a time when some of the most horrific things that human beings can do to one another get euphemized, or they get covered up by the words that we use. So we don't actually bomb people who haven't done anything wrong or are no threat. We have collateral damage, and we have other kinds of terms that kind of excuse or conceal some of the awful things that actually happen. I wrote this poem with two things in mind. First of all, that idea about language, about how language is often used to cover up something or to disguise something or to wish it away, but also to talk in a fairly explicit way about what actually happened at Hiroshima in 1945, about the experience that people had waking up one morning and being obliterated at more or less a moment's notice. Now, in English, the English at one time didn't get along very well with the Dutch. They went to war a couple of times over trade and various things. And Dutch became a pejorative term in English. Actually, the British used it to refer to any foreigner, anything they didn't like that came from outside. Well, that was Dutch at one time. And I happen to be reading a Dutch poet. His name is Sybrand Pollet, and he has a line, the translation of which is, "The language of radar and corn, the language of flesh and bone." And maybe because he was a Dutch writer, and I was interested in that at the time this came together. Lost in Translation. Dutch ovens are cast iron kettles, one loads with potatoes, turnips and tomatoes, red onion and tough, stringy beef. Many of those funeral urns contain only rocks. In the woods you find Dutch clover, Dutchman's breeches, Dutchman's pipe, not the skeleton of the industrial promotion hall. A Dutch door splits in half, so a bare-breasted woman leans out into rose light, waving, "Come on in," as 70,000 buildings splinter and crumble, as some odor of fresh-baked loaves wafts out, but the poor black dog can't run away. A boy kneels by a dead horse in a field of watermelons. Any wedge driven into a frame, carpenters call a Dutchman, the shim hiding a badly made joint. Kyoto, they say, was our first choice. Dutchman also means some kind of nest built by South American wasps. They made sewing needles here for 300 years. Air raid sirens had sounded the all clear. A few human shadows were left, a painter up on a ladder, dipping his brush, a peddler snapping his cap off, whipping a horse. A Dutch uncle is someone who scolds you mercilessly. Kyoto was crossed off the list. "It is raining gasoline," they screamed, running for the river. Dutch courage is recklessness brought on by gin. A knife or a chair leg snuffs it out quick. Air raid sirens had sounded the all clear. A Dutch wife is a pillow between your legs in your bed in the tropics, soaking up sweat as you sleep. We dropped no leaflets to warn the people. Dutch cure, Dutch gold, Dutch widows, their skin hanging off them like shreds of their kimonos. To beat the Dutch meant to do something incredible, not any leaflets. "Would it not be wondrous," he wrote, "for the whole nation to be destroyed like a beautiful flower?" To Dutch means to clarify, to harden quills by passing them through fire or roasted sand. "Misu, misu," they cried, "water, water." Air raid sirens had sounded. We dropped no leaflets. Dutch gold is not gold at all, only copper and tin and zinc rolled into foil. Almost instantly, the flash, the boy, the horse. Double Dutch is a language deliberately misused to make no sense to anyone. All clear sirens had sounded. Birds ignited in midair.